Good morning. So let me first start with the good news for you. I just checked my laptop battery. I still have 5 hours and 51 minutes left. And the bad news for me is I will only be able to cover half of what I have prepared for today. But the good news is, oh, you have extra battery. Thank you, Gerard. So we should be good. We should be good. Thank you for your help, Gerard. So, yeah. Okay. So, Denny and Gary asked me to share with you guys already, I think, 2-3 months ago. And then I had been thinking about, yeah, of course, then you start thinking what makes sense, well, what to share, what to talk about. And then I realized there is one topic that actually I was kind of thinking about. And actually, it's one of the topics we as Christians like to discuss, but we often don't like to go too much in depth about those topics because it's a little complicated and a little too personal oftentimes. And so the topic is money. And so we like to talk about it, but we often don't like to say too much about what we should be doing with our money. It feels a little uncomfortable if I would tell you guys what you should be doing with your money, doesn't that? So anyway, but when I was starting to think about this and preparing all of this, I realized that actually the real topic was actually not money at all. The real topic was actually, where do we get our assurance from in life? Where do we get our security from in life? What do we trust? Where does it all come from? And then I realized it's kind of a strange irony, actually, that, I don't know, for the Americans among you, if you get out your dollars, you will see what's written on there. In God we trust. Isn't that kind of nearly ironic when many times we kind of trust in the money and not trust in God? So actually, even by having that written on there, made me realize that it's often about trust. What do we trust? What are we thinking about? Proof it, it's even written on the dollars. So that's definitely important. So today I don't really want to talk about money, but I want to talk about what should we care about? How do we handle uncertainty? How do we handle the fact that things don't always work out, that we can't really predict the future? Where do we find our assurances? How do we find a sense of safety? And actually, this leads to kind of, when I think about it, to kind of a paradox, to kind of something that looks not like it fits together, but it does fit together, like a contradiction, that superficially some of the scriptures we have in the Bible regarding all these topics look like they kind of nearly contradict each other a little. If you just look at it very superficially, we will look more into depth into that today. So let me go into what contradiction I found. That is, on the one side, you have verses out there that say, don't care about your brothers, parents, etc. It even goes further. It says, hate them. So that's the one side. So just don't care about anything. If you read it superficially, you could get out of it. But then, look at Jesus' life. What's the first miracle he does? He turns water into wine. Then, if you read that, with the first part, it feels kind of like it's newly in conflict. What is wrong here with Jesus? What does he do? Instead of giving a big spiritual lesson and teaching the people something, that he is the living water, what does he do? He turns water into wine. He cares so much for the people that he is there, that he's present, that he's there. He addresses their situation as it's there. So it's interesting that it looks nearly like there is kind of a contradiction. But I think actually there is no real contradiction there. And we will get into that. But I think so in Christianity and actually also in other religions, we see this discussion about what should we care about and what should we trust, or should we even trust anything at all, has always existed. And I think even for Christians, within Christianity, some people have gone overboard in one direction. Sometimes we go overboard in the other direction. Sometimes people say, okay, we should not care really about anything at all. We should just listen to the Lord and not care about anything around us. And some have read verses out of context. You know, when I came here around, I think, 12 years ago, I met a guy here, and he was very sad because his father was very, very terminal, was very sick, and would probably pass away. And so he didn't know if he should spend the money to go and visit him in the States. And then somebody, I think from outside the church, but somebody had told him, had cited to him Luke 9, verse 60. I don't know if you know what's written in there. It says there, Jesus says, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And so I felt quite bad for the guy, because this verse had nothing to do with his situation at all. God does care about our pains and our sadness and mourning. When Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their dead," he was talking about spiritual issues. He wasn't talking here about that you shouldn't respect your parents. So other people have maybe gone to the complete other extreme, and sometimes we do it ourselves too. We just see God that gives wine, God that takes care of everything, God that wants us happy. And then, if we push that to the extreme, we end up that we stress our personal prosperity above anything else. Then it's all about prosperity, about having stuff, about being blessed, about getting stuff. But I think if we go into either extreme, I think we miss out on the rich message of the gospel. In order to be able to answer this paradox, this tension about not caring and caring, we have to split things up in two questions. We often confuse trusting and caring. Should we talk about trusting, or should we talk about caring? And so I think there are two questions we really have to look at. What should we trust? Who should we trust? And what should we care for? And those are really two different questions. Many times we care for what we trust and we kind of mix it all up. Let me go into a little more detail to make it a little clearer. Let me go back to one of those texts I already alluded to earlier, in Luke 14, verse 25 to 27. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, so this Luke 14, verse 26, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." So if we read this, we might nearly think that Jesus says, don't care about the people around you. Don't pay them too much attention. But I think this text is a very important text, but it doesn't say that. It speaks about priorities. It speaks about trusting. And actually, I think having lived now and living in a more traditional village where families play a very traditional role, I think has helped me understand this scripture more. Because what does family mean for you and me? Many times it's just the people we love, but they are not the people that provide to us. They are also not the people when we get old that we expect that will make sure that we don't die from starvation. Whereas in that time, the family was everything that would take care of you. They would make sure that if you would get older and couldn't work anymore, they would make sure you had food, that you had a roof. They would take care of you when you were sick. They would take care of everything. So I think when Jesus speaks here so clearly about the family, this was what gave you security, what gave you safety. Everything was in there. Now you get your safety maybe from your 401k, from your pension plan, from your health insurance, from all kind of things. But When Jesus says he family, I think we can also read it nearly as don't trust in your pension, in your 401k, in your whatever gives you safety. So Jesus says, trust in me and follow me. So, continuing on this theme, it's actually quite interesting because Jesus actually deeply cares. So on the one side, he says, don't rely on them in that way. Trust me first. But on the other side, he deeply cares. And I think one of the most touching, or I would say nearly crazy verses you can find is in John 19, verse 25 to 27. So at that time, Jesus is already on the cross. And then you would think, what would you be thinking about when you are, when you have been crucified? And then comes this very impactful verses, John 19, verse 26. And this is when Jesus is already on the cross. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, or mother, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her in his home. I think in a certain way, this is mind-boggling. You know, Jesus is on the cross, he's suffering, and he takes care of his mom at that time. I mean, yeah, that's a touching words, at least to me. But then I was thinking, how is that even possible? And I think it comes back to the theme that I want to talk about today, because while he was on the cross, he trusted God deeply. And because his trust of God, because of knowing God's love to him, that gave him the possibility, the energy, the empathy to even care for his mother at the darkest of time. So I think that's where we have this duality, this paradox. On the one side, we trust God, but through trusting him, then we can truly care and truly love and truly serve and truly act. So when reflecting on this, I wanted to take a couple steps back and talk more about our lives. And actually, different people in different countries, we address this feeling of where we find security often in slightly different ways. So before coming here, I lived in India, and I noticed that many people around me, yeah, if things were not really going their way, they didn't really feel they had to change it. Let me give you an example. I had an employee, and he had to take care of some urgent paperwork. It really needed to get done by next week, and it hadn't been done already for 6 weeks. So I asked him, how is it going with the paperwork? So he said, yeah, I went to the guys who are responsible, and I gave them the paperwork to take care of it. I say, okay, great. So when will they be done? I ask. It's probably what you all would have asked too if you really need it. He says, I didn't ask. And I'm like, why didn't you ask? He said, well, I gave it to them. They will be working on it. And then we will see. It's not me who decides. I'm not their master. We will see how it all goes. And I think in many, to make, what would I say, nearly a caricature or a little to generalize a little too much, I think his culture had told him to accept the way things are. You know, fate. There's just fate. You can't do anything about it. You shouldn't fight it. When things are not going the way you want it, you should just accept it. That's just make peace with it. Now, imagine the same situation in the US or in Europe. Or imagine a situation somebody is gravely ill or whatever. A person from an Eastern tradition would probably be as frustrated or sad as you and I are. But what would we do? We would directly ask questions. What should we be doing next? How are we going to resolve this issue? Do you have any ideas? I don't have any ideas. Who should we ask about that? So we think we have to go full out and fix the problem. So in and out of sales, there's nothing wrong with this attitude. But I think sometimes with that attitude we go a step too far. We like to believe in the West that we are mostly God, that we are the master of our destinies, that we can change things, that we are the ones of which everything that happens around us just depends on us. So in this way, sometimes for us, that's the way to handle our insecurities in life. Have the belief that if only we work hard enough, if only we ask the right people, we can achieve whatever we think is needed to be achieved. And I think actually, maybe as people, we are a little more complex. We are not just Western tradition or Eastern tradition. We often have a little of both in us. But I think when looking at that, I think both views are not really in line with scriptures, I think. Both views are very limited views of who we are and especially of who God is. You know, if we start in a Western worldview where we think we can do anything, in a certain way there's maybe some truth that we can act. Because like it says in Genesis 1:27, it says we are created in God's image. And therefore, and as you know, it's often strongly emphasized in Jewish tradition as well, men are creators. We can create, and that's why we take the Shabbat off, because we don't create on that day. So there's this whole thing. We can act. But I think let's be careful. Let's not confuse that with us being God. We are in God's image, but we are not God himself. We should make sure to not put our trust in ourselves, pretending we are the masters of our destinies. I think it's a very tricky thing. It's so insidious in our culture that even we as Christians, and me, I fall for it. Let me give you an example. So the whole idea about talking about where our trust is and where money is, of course, comes also inspired by my own life. And I don't know if you know the American expression. I think you guys say rags to riches or something, which means somebody was very poor and then he works hard and then suddenly he is nice and rich. Kind of the American dream. So, in a certain way, I feel some parts of my life have been the story the other way around, like riches to rags. Not that bad. But from being in a situation where earning a lot more money than we would be spending to being in a situation where you're earning less money and spending more. So that, again, made me realize, where do I trust in? And are you going to get stressed about the money? On the one side, of course, you should care about money. You should take care of things. You should be good masters of what God has given us. But where does really lie our trust? Where do you really go in that situation? So again, I'm not saying just spend the money and be crazy. That's not at all. But I'm thinking, where does really lie your deep trust? And then you realize that sometimes your trust does lie a little in, oh, I have money, it will be all okay. Or I don't have money now, but I know how to get money, so it will all be okay. Instead of saying, I'll trust the Lord, and I will trust through him that this issue will be addressed. So we talked about this Western worldview. Let's look a little at the Eastern worldview. And in a certain way, there is some truth to that. That worldview to recognize that we are not the sole masters of our destiny. That we are not the sole persons who can decide how everything goes. So there is some truth in there. We as Christians, of course, we do not believe in fate. We believe that God is there. But I think that's where the good part, where we agree, ends. Because we are not called in our scriptures to despair. We're not called to sitting back. Actually, there's so many scriptures. I will not all read them because otherwise I will really use my 5 hours. We are called to be part of His kingdom here on earth. We are called to action. We are called to care. We are called to mourn with those who mourn. We are called to rejoice with those who rejoice. We are called to fight injustice. We are called to truly and deeply care. We are called to love. So, you could say, we're even called to provide wine for the weddings. And I think we can care. Why can we care? Because we even feel pushed to care through Christ's love for us, and His Spirit gives us strength to care. So, let's get back to the paradox I started with. Should we not care at all about anything and just say, Lord only, or should we be providing wine? So I think the answer is probably closer to this. Our trust should be solely and wholly in Christ, not in ourselves, not in our abilities, not in money, not in our social security system, not in the government, and I have bad news for Democrats, not in the Democratic Party. I have bad news for Republicans too, not in the Republican Party. Our trust should be in the Lord. But I think now that we are, if we are in His assurance, then we can truly live. Then we can truly care. Then we can care for the people around us. We can work. We can love to the fullest. Because we do not have to trust in our work, in the results, in our abilities. We can deeply care about people if we trust in God, about what we do. And why? Because then we do not have to fear bad outcomes of the work we do. We do not have to fear failures or rejections, because our value is not in our works. Our assurance is in Him. So, having thought about the things in the last couple of months, turned out to be quite helpful this week. This work turned out a little different than expected. As I said, we have been living here for the last 10-12 years. And when we wanted to renew our visa this week, it turns out they changed the rule, but didn't tell anybody. And so they, most likely, it seems we will be, they will not be renewed. And so in that case, we will be leaving here in 2 weeks. And then after having visited family and friends in the States and Europe, we'll probably end up living in India. But since this is so recent, our plans are not set yet. So therefore, I would ask you, please pray for wisdom for us, and especially for our little girls. So here again, I want to trust the Lord and not become cynical, bitter, angry, revengeful, or whatever, but continue caring about what is important to care about. So in closing, our trust should be solely and wholly in Christ, not in ourselves. And at the same time, and because of that, we can truly care about whatever God has put on our paths, whatever it is now, and whatever it will be. To say it even shorter, because we trust God, we can care for others and ourselves. We can care for the work we are called to do, and we can love each other. As it says in Isaiah 41, verse 10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And in Matthew 28, verse 20, it says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Or in another translation, I am with you even till the end of the ages. May God bless you all. Amen.